Dear ones, let's bow our hearts together. Lord, it is by thy grace and thy mercy that thou hast given us a new day. Lord, we have assembled in this day into thy house. We had a great anticipation and a longing to gather and to worship thee. We pray, Lord, that as we have assembled, that thou would free our mind from all the distractions and that our hearts would be focused upon this word that is before us. And we look to thee, Lord, that thou would speak to each of our hearts and to guide us into the depths of thy truth, of thy love, of who thou art, O Lord, and what thou hast done for us. So bless us, one and all. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, for this morning's meditation, I desire to read chapter 3 from the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 3, the first 21 verses. Želim da se pročita iz Evanđelja po Jovanu, treća glava, prvi 21, jedan brojeva. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. May God bless our reading together. The close of the previous chapter tells us that Jesus was in Jerusalem, and having been there, that many believed in his name, and it because they saw the miracles that he was performing. And so it tells us also that Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. And he needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in him. So there were many who had looked at Jesus, had been with him in Jerusalem, saw his miracles, believed in him, and Jesus did not commit himself unto them. Yet we find a Pharisee who comes to Jesus, and Jesus does commit himself unto this Pharisee. We know his name is Nicodemus, and the truths, the central truth of Christianity, of Christendom, is revealed to a Pharisee. He didn't speak this to anyone other than this ruler of the Jews, a master in Israel. He didn't give it to Peter. He didn't give it to John, his disciples who were with him. There's a man that came to him by night, and he was looking for truth. He didn't come to Jesus because he believed in his miracles. He knew, he says, that you are a teacher come from God because of your miracles. And so Jesus commits himself to Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. It tells us that he came to him by night. And we can get into all kinds of explanations as to why he came by night. I simply believe that he came to him by night because he wanted to have a discussion with him. The throngs were all around him during the day. He spoke. Nicodemus came to him where he could have a one-on-one conversation with him. And he says, Rabbi. He addresses him as a teacher. We know that thou art come, a teacher come from God. We know that. I've accepted that truth that you've come from God. Because he says, and he gives his reason, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. That's all he said. He didn't ask for anything deeper. He just said, we know. And so, what did Nicodemus come for? We know that Nicodemus was a master in Israel. Jesus addressed him that way. He was a teacher. He sat and he taught the people about God. So he was a master of the Old Testament, if we could call it that, a teacher. He understood the Old Testament. He understood the prophecies. He heard the prophecy of John the Baptist. He heard John speaking about the baptism unto repentance, that I'm going to baptize you with, but there's someone coming who is far greater than I. He will baptize you with the Spirit. He heard these things from John the Baptist. And he sees Jesus now, and he's doing these miracles everywhere. And the people are following him. And he comes to him by night and says, we know these things. We know you're a teacher from God. And Jesus now commits himself unto Nicodemus. And he tells him truths that are so profound that Nicodemus could not understand it. And that only those who truly seek him can understand the very basic truths. We can read books probably by the hundreds and thousands out there. I don't know. With this title, Born Again. Born Again is something that is spoken of probably in every sermon, everywhere. Born Again. But what does truly being born again really mean to us? Jesus describes it here to Nicodemus in its entirety, what being born again means. And so he tells him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He's talking about the kingdom of God. So as Nicodemus asks him, or comes to him with this, is except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So seeing the kingdom of God is what? Being a part of the kingdom of God. He's saying, you cannot see this kingdom unless you are born again. So in other words, he's telling Nicodemus here, all that you are, all that you have learned, all that you know, all that you've applied yourself to, I know you're sincere. You're sincere. But so was Paul or Saul of Tarsus, right? Saul of Tarsus was sincere. But everything that he had pursued and known and followed was taking him nowhere. We even look at the young ruler. The young ruler
I believe in his heart he was sincere. He did everything. I'm doing all those things, Lord. I've done all those things. We look at him as someone who felt good about what he was doing. But when the truths of the kingdom came upon him, he had a hard time. He had a hard time to really fold completely and give his heart to his Lord. And so we have here Jesus describing to him. Nicodemus says unto him, how? He hears what Jesus said. You must be born again. And he says, how? Because he knows his past. And really every one of us are formed into who we are today as a physical, spiritual being. Who we are today is an accumulation of everything that we have gone through in our past, right? Everything that we've lived, experienced, really creates and forms us who we are. And so Nicodemus understands that his life, what it was, and what he had endured, what he had gone through, what he had been tempted with, what he had succumbed to, what he had fallen into. He knows all these things, and he has a trouble with all of that. And he says, how can I, who am I right now, as I know myself, how can I undo all these things from the past to create something new? You have to be born again, Jesus tells him. And so he says, how can that be possible? Because in order to do that, you have to unwind everything from the past to be born again. And so he uses reason, and he knows the answer. He says, can a man, an adult man now, enter again the second time into his mother's womb and be born, come out another new person to start all over again? So that the man that he is would be from that new beginning, which he can't understand. How do you get to that new beginning? And so Jesus tells him, and so he uses practicality, right? He uses practicality, and he says, this is an impossible thing. And so how can that take place? And Jesus gives him the answer and says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So now he's again giving, you want to see the kingdom of God? You want to enter into the kingdom of God? You must be born by water and the Spirit. This is what John the Baptist was speaking. The baptism unto repentance. Jesus is calling Nicodemus here to a new beginning, to a new life, one that involves baptism unto repentance, to repent that former man that you know, that Nicodemus knows, how do I undo those things? And there's no religion, there's nowhere anywhere in any ideology, any writings, any theories, anything that can come close to what Jesus is describing, what a man can go through with him. Everyone seeks it. Everyone wants to undo something, erase something. Can't be done. Jesus says it can be done. It only can be done through two things. Through being born of water and being born of the Spirit. And he tells them this new birth that John the Baptist is speaking of, this baptism. And he says, and the one that is coming after him, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is him. This is Jesus. And he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He says, Nicodemus, you're speaking fleshly things here. You're speaking about that new birth that you're speaking of as a man is born into this world. That which is the flesh is flesh. That which is the Spirit is spirit. He says, I'm going to speak unto you spiritual things. And he committed himself unto Nicodemus to reveal the deepest of truths that every person must come to acknowledge and to know and to receive in order to receive him. And so he says unto him, and now Nicodemus is standing there marveling at him, and he sees that. And he says, marvel not that which I said unto thee, that you must be born again. Don't try to figure it out in your mind where you're focusing on the things that are possible and impossible. And he goes now to describe
this new birth. And he describes it in two ways. He describes it as the wind bloweth where it listeth. So maybe they were sitting somewhere where there was a wind was blowing around them. And he says, see this wind? Or he talks about a wind, which all of us know the wind. He says, the wind has its beginning. You don't know where it's at. You don't know where it's going. You see the effect of the wind. You feel it. But you don't know its origins. You don't know its end. And so he gives him a absolutely physical truth. Something that we all can look and see and understand. He said, you cannot tell whence it cometh, whither it goeth. And so he says, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And we try to come to an understanding of what is he speaking of here. And Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? He says, okay, I understand what you're saying. You're saying that I'm going to talk to you about something that can take place. I believe you. But now tell me, how can this take place? How is this going to take place that I'm going to be born again? You just described the wind. I see the effects of the wind. Now how will this happen? He accepted the truth that Jesus was speaking to him, but he didn't understand him. He says, "How? Describe to me how that can be." And he says to him, art thou a master of Israel? You're going and he's not making fun of him here. He says, you're a master of Israel. He says, you don't know these things. He goes, so I'm going to tell you about these things. So being the master of Israel, he was probably one of the ones who was revered and looked at. The Nicodemus is going to come and speak and talk, and people looked up to him to his head knowledge. He could probably quote the scriptures from chapters and books and verses like no one else could, perhaps. He was a master of Israel. Jesus acknowledged him as that, and he says, but you don't know these things. And so he says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that which we have seen. And ye don't receive our witness. And I told you about earthly things, and ye believe not. How shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And so he goes on, and he talks about, and now he gave him a physical description of the wind. And really, if we look at the wind, the power of the wind, you cannot go against it. It is a force, it is a power that a ship is out on the seas. If you don't follow the direction of the wind, it will destroy you. It will destroy your vessel and make a shipwreck of you. But if you raise the sails and you are under obedience to the wind will guide you, it will obey you and lead you and propel you to places that you desire to go. And so he describes that. This is the power that is unseen, the Spirit. And you must come under this power. You can't fight against him. You can't fight against this Spirit. But rather, harness that power. Receive it. And he will come under you and your direction, which you desire in your heart to go to, and he will take you there. And that goal and that destination has to be the other shore, to which we strive and yearn for, where our Lord and Savior is. And so the Spirit is such, as the wind is. You don't understand it. You don't know its origins, but you can come underneath that power of that wind. You come underneath the power of the Spirit. And it is in obedience to that, as he describes now about the Moses and the serpent in the wilderness. He says, no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven. And he says, even the Son of Man, he says, which is in heaven. God is all and in all. He is everywhere. He is on this earth. He is on the throne. He is everywhere. He says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. This is something that Nicodemus knows very well. The chapter 21 of the book of Numbers, Nicodemus knew about. He knew exactly why there was a brazen serpent. He knows why Moses was told to form a serpent out of brass. It came to pass because the nation had rebelled against God. They heard the word of God and they rebelled. They rebelled against his word.
And that rebellion takes place in many different ways. You know, heresy today is not I believe in this inanimate object that it gives me life. That's not a heresy that many can fall under and believe, although they do believe some outlandish things. But he's speaking to a Pharisee who understands spiritual, because he's a Pharisee, he believed in the spiritual side of a man. He knew of the physical part, and he knew that there's a spiritual side, but the spiritual side was in his eyes controlled by the physical, who had formed him to be who he is today. How do you unravel all that? And so Jesus is telling him now, he says, because of rebellion, the people in the wilderness were bitten by the serpent, the poisonous serpent. Why? Because they rebelled against God. They didn't obey him. It could be in a very twist of his word, a little bit, to maybe fit me just a little bit more, where I don't have to fully come under the submission of my Lord. That is a heresy. Anything that changes the word of God and his truth is a heresy. And they came under this heresy. They believed in something other than what God had spoken to them, a direct command given unto them. They changed the word of God. They disobeyed him. And through that disobedience, they were condemned to die. They had no life within them. They were bitten by the serpent. And so today, you, my dear friend, you who cannot say that Christ lives in me, you cannot say that I was born again by the water. Through repentance, I was baptized, and the old man had died and had been buried in the likeness and the death of Christ and risen up into newness and the likeness of Christ in him to be a new man who is led by this Spirit, which is unseen, which leads me, which I must submit unto and follow his leading, and he will take me exactly where my soul desires to go. And so you are bitten by this serpent. Death is within you. Death lies within you. There's no life in you. It's death. That's it. What do you have to look forward to in the new day? What do you look forward to? What is our expectation of the new day? Today, I thought within myself, we're going to the house of the Lord to pray, to worship, to read, to sing. That is a blessed moment. Do we always have that feeling? I'm going to church. I'm going to church. What is in church? God is there. He says, Were they gather in my name, I'm going to be there. Well, I know we're going to gather in his name. Jesus' presence will be there. Why would I not want to go there? Why would I not look with a great anticipation to go and to worship? And so, being led by the Spirit, dear ones, Jesus is showing a story that is very, very known unto Nicodemus. And Nicodemus knows why those people were poisoned by the venomous snakes. And they were all in agony and in pain, knowing that they are going to die. And the problem is with today, we go to funerals, we see, and that's why Solomon says, it is better, in Ecclesiastes, it is better for you to go into the house of mourning than into a house where there's joy and happiness and marriages and laughter and all those things. It's better for you to, why? Because you face your own mortality. You are faced with death. You know you're going to die. Well, he says, think about those things. Think about the fact that you will die, and where are you going to end? And so he says, all of these people were bitten because of disobedience. They were bitten by the serpent. And he says now, he tells Moses, make this brazen serpent and lift it up. Lift it up. And that everyone who looks upon this brazen serpent will be healed. They will receive life. And so, this is what Jesus says. This is what Jesus is, he's unfolding
the verse that is loved by all, whether they're religious or not, whether they just know of a Jesus, know that he died for me. I'll put my hope in verse 16 and let it stand there. I won't read verses 15 and 14. I won't read 17 and 18. I like verse 16. Because it might sound easy, but it's not easy. Because if it was easy, all men would come under it. But it becomes easy. It becomes easy when we realize what Jesus is speaking of here. Those people in the wilderness, they had to look on that. In order to put your eyes on something, as they are told, look on this serpent and you will be saved. Okay? That takes faith. And that faith required for themselves to be humbled, to be brought low, to realize that they are in death. There is no life within them. I am repenting of my disobedience. I will now listen to the voice of God. God said, this in and of itself doesn't even sound normal. To look upon a brazen serpent, what's in the look of us into the look of a brazen serpent? Nothing in and of itself. It's what faith is. It's what faith can deliver and change and bring about into a soul. Because at that moment when those people, and many looked and many didn't look. Imagine, many didn't look. And I know every one of us, when we read that story, would say, what fools? What fools? Well, the foolishness began when they rejected God's word. The foolishness began when they thought they could twist and turn the word of God into something that is more palpable, something that I can adhere to a little bit easier. That was the foolishness. And now in that heart that is deceived and living for self, realizes the agony that they are in, will they look? Will they be brought low to the point that says, I, as John the Baptist said, I must decrease so that he may increase. I have to come to nothing. And when I look upon that brazen serpent, when I look upon it, it says, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. This is, dear ones, the all of heaven's expression to the pinnacle of God's creation, mankind. This is what heaven thinks about you and me. I will take my son and lift him up on the cross so that the serpent that has bitten you, because of your disobedience to me, you must die. But if you want to change course, if you want life, there's only one source of life. It comes from me, Jesus says. There's only one source of life. If you want life, you have to look at me. The one who became the curse because you disobeyed me, because you didn't listen and you followed your own ways. You took my word and made it fit your life. You didn't take your life and make it fit into the image of God. Brothers and sisters, every one of us must come to have the mind of Christ. I cannot go through this life without having the mind of Christ and be saved. I cannot look at verse 16 outside of everything else. The faith that it takes to look up to Christ and what he has done requires a repentance, because I am sorry. I now believe. I'm sorry for what I have done. I do want to live. I will no longer, I repent, I turn away from that, and I'm looking upon the Son who died for me. I believe. And God so loved the world that he did lift up his Son. And that if I believe on him and look on him, that I will have life. And so he describes here, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And eternal life God gives us even today. In our state in which we convert and are born again, we are born unto eternal life, not this flesh, but the new beginning, the old man which is done away with. This is what baptism of water is. It's the burial of an old man who has repented, who has changed, who now realized that in my disobedience, I disobeyed God, I deserve death, I deserve the agony, I deserve a separation from his holiness, from his righteousness. Altogether, everything is perfect. I can't stand in that presence. I do deserve this death, this hell, this separation. But he said, look at my son. I'm going to give him to die for you. I'm going to give him to die for you so that you can have life. Why? Because I love you. I will come down from heaven, he says here. I will come down from heaven for you. I will take the beating. I will take the stripes. I will take the ridicule, the spitting and the slapping. I'll take all of that. I'll take the crown of thorns. And I'll pay the penalty for your sin, for your disobedience. Do you not love him? What is that belief? What is that belief create in you and in me? What does that acknowledgement bring about? And he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. How much did he love the world? He gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he goes on, he says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Saved from what? Saved from what? You see, you've been bitten by the serpent because of disobedience to God's eternal word that changes not. I changed it to fit me, and I'm condemned to die. And so he came to save me from my sins. As he tells all who he has made whole, go and sin no more. Why? Because when you come under the direction, under the power of the Spirit, you see the power. It's demonstrated in the effect that it has upon that which it blows on, the wind. And so the Spirit of God must have that effect on you and on me, so that the effect of the Spirit would be seen, and the evidence of it would be my life that I now walk in. You look at me and say, he loves God. He loves God. He believes in God. He is under the direction of the Spirit of God. If I hate you, if you hate me, it can't be because I'm doing something that is against God. It can only be because you don't want to be around one who is under the direction of the Spirit. You know, today, we can have friends in the world. We can, at our workplace, we can know, and we can say many nice things about many nice people. Educated. You know, let's look at Nicodemus. Educated. Moral. Would never do anything evil to hurt somebody. And yet, if you tell them you're going to church on Sunday because they're calling you to come for some party, and you say, I'm going to go to church, they might not understand you. Good people. Church. What for? He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he believed, hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So we see, dear ones, that belief, this believing in Jesus ends condemnation because it looks upon him in faith, dies to self, changes. That's the look upon him, is a look of repentance, of sorrow that I disobeyed. And so I believe, and I'm under the direction now of the Spirit who leads me. And he says, and this now is that condemnation. Why are you condemned? He says, because light is come into the world. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And so light came into this world. It came into existence. Light came. Jesus came. And so he says, and these are truths that all of us, I believe, can really fully understand. Light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Who would believe that I would rather love darkness than light? Why would I ever do that? Because, see, when we take the word of God that changes not and make it fit, it's a heresy. It's from the devil. In its entirety, it's from the devil. Because the word of God changes not. He changes not. And so when I disobey him, it's because I've created something, a path, a way through which I can get away with this or that. And so he says, men love darkness rather than light. That's hard to imagine, because we look at the forces of darkness, who they are. It's the devil, Satan, his angels, the demons. They're all about destruction, death, lies, cheating, stealing, murder, you name it. That's all from everything. Pride. Look who you are. You can be like God, he tells Adam and Eve. You can be like God. Pride, lift you up. I'm something big. You can never know. These eternal truths that Jesus is revealing to Nicodemus, he said these can only be understood by the spiritual man. And he says, the reason we like to hang on to something and not allow the full glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the light, which is Jesus himself, because he says, I am the Word. The Word was made flesh. The Word is light. The Word is Jesus. And so the Word, which is light, we don't let it blaze into our hearts to change every nook and cranny of our heart. Why? He tells us why. Because your deeds are evil. Whoa. My deeds are evil? Entirely. Entirely. God does not judge man the way man judges man. God does not look at you and say, well, you know, I see you're trying. You're still, you know, you can't overcome this. I understand. Okay, I know it's been a year already you're trying. Okay, I know it's been 10 years already. Okay, I know. No, he doesn't do that. He says, you're evil. Why? Why am I evil? Because I love that. I don't want to let it go. I don't want to come under the direction of the Spirit of God. Because under the direction of the Spirit means I have to die to myself. I can't live that life. And so he says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Are you under the light? Am I under the light of the Word of God? And we feel the pains of our sin. Well, that's a good place to be. Don't run from that light. Run from that evil deed. Come to the light and let the light, let Jesus show me who I am and where I'm lacking and where I'm not walking with him. He will reveal that to us. And he says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth. Who is truth? Jesus. He is truth. I am the way, the truth. I am the truth, Jesus says. So if you do truth, in other words, you've learned from me, you do what I command you, you have life. And he says, he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And so when we come to the light, that light needs to create a change within us now. Why? So that
my deeds would be made manifest that they are wrought in God. So what my life is, the deeds that I am doing, they are wrought in God. I can no longer say, well, you know, you just have to put up with me like that. You know, a lot of times we can say this because, and we do it sometimes jokingly, well, that's who I am because of whatever. You know, that's just who I am. No, there's no such thing. We just learned there's no such thing as that's just who I am. That's what Nicodemus couldn't understand. That's who I am. Not my spiritual and physical man, my soul, it's all formed and done through my experiences in my life. Well, we can unravel all that, Jesus says. Come to the light. Believe. Look upon him, the one who saved you by his grace. Look upon him. See him on the cross for you, dying in agony for you. We are the ones that should be in agony. He died in agony. He suffered. He felt the wrath of a holy God upon him in that separation that none of us ever want to experience. And yet, being deceived by heresies, being deceived by the promise of a new day. Maybe you don't even believe in an easy Christianity. Maybe that's not what you're looking for. Maybe you are sitting here really believing that I must be born again. I know that. I just can't do it. It's only because you're not looking up on him. You don't see him. You don't see what he did for you. God loved you so much that he sent him. You're not seeing it. And it's faith, with faith that you look up. And when you see him, Jesus will never leave any soul who wants him, who wants to know him, to not know him. There's no such person. Jesus will never not make himself known to the one who really wants to know him. And when he reveals himself to you and to me, dear ones, the burning, the love within our hearts must be such that the deeds are being made manifest in my life, that they are wrought in God. This is a miracle. It's a miracle that Jesus describes. He brings together a beautiful illustration. He takes Nicodemus, shows him the wind. He shows him a mystical thing of looking upon the brazen serpent, something that is known and believed by Nicodemus. And he brings those truths together to show him the working of his spirit in the heart of a man that loves his Lord, which is my desire for myself and for each one of us, that we would love our Lord with a love that is willing to fall at his feet and to come under the direction of the Spirit of God to move me to where my soul yearns and desires to be with him eternally. Amen.